the global tariff war intensifies.
Tariffs that we're talking about, and again, reciprocal. I think that the tariffs, there are some cases where they're a little beyond reciprocal because, you know, we've been abused for a long time as a country.
What are the risks and potential benefits of this new trade war?
You know, the big picture is it's slowing the world economy down.
Today is Wednesday, March 12th, and this is The Issue from VOA.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lori London.
And I'm Scott Walterman.
Today, I am announcing that the government of Canada, following a dollar-for-dollar approach, will be imposing, as of 12:01 a.m. tomorrow, March 13, 2025, 25% reciprocal tariffs on an additional $29.8 billion of imports from the United States.
That was Canada's finance minister, Dominique LeBlanc. Canada's foreign affairs minister, Melanie Joly, says she will bring up ending the tariffs to U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio at the upcoming G7 meeting.
To my European colleagues, we will work together to put pressure to end these tariffs against you too.
European Council President Antonio Costa said the European Union is open to talking with the United States about any trade imbalances and stressed the importance of de-escalation.
The United States believe that they are a real problem, then the good way to solve this is to talk. The good way to solve problems is to talk and to address the problems and find solutions. And we are open for this.
U.S. President Donald Trump on Wednesday doubled down on his vow to impose reciprocal tariffs to help rebuild U.S. manufacturing.
We had presidents and people that were involved in this that had no idea what they were doing, and they lost big segments of our economy. The European Union treats us very badly. They have for years. I saw that. I had it out with them in my first term.
And aiming to get some relief from U.S. tariffs, Canadian ministers are expected to visit Washington this week to speak with the Trump administration.
So let's get some insights into what appears to be a growing global tariff war and where this could be heading.
Joining us now is John Diamond, director of the Center for Tax and Budget Policy at Rice University's Baker Institute.
So thanks so much for being with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Let's just take a pause here and talk. Everybody's jumping in on tariffs. You've got Canada, the EU. It's all reaction to the United States, China. Let's take a super big picture globally of what this is doing potentially to the world economy.
You know, the big picture is it's slowing the world economy down. I mean, basically what happens when you start renegotiating all of the trade infrastructure is that countries have to start thinking about where they want to import certain goods from, and that causes changes to supply chains and prices, and things that used to be determined and easy become difficult and uncertain.
And, you know, using tariffs seems to be a central part of President Trump's overall economic vision. He's been talking about them for years, including in his first term. For those who may not really understand, what are tariffs and when does it actually make sense to use them? And if so, what purpose could they serve?
Oh, boy. So a tariff is basically just a tax. So if the U.S. imposes a tariff on a Canadian good, then you're just saying, look, before that good comes into the U.S., we're going to require that the price be raised by some percentage. That will usually be paid by the person importing the good into the country. And then that cost will be passed along to consumers when it moves from the importer to actual sale in the United States, for example. So at the end of the day, a tariff is just a tax on a good that's imported from one country or imported into a country from another country.
One of the things that he says he wants to do with the tariff is reinvigorate manufacturing. And he sort of claims that tariffs from other countries killed manufacturing in this country. Now, I'm not an economist, though sometimes I play an amateur one on the radio.
That's true, he does.
But my understanding of why manufacturing moved out of this country was a number of factors, like the cost of labor in the United States versus the cost of labor in some other countries and so on and so forth. You can bring manufacturing back this way, right? But that's not really addressing the problem of the cost of goods.
Yeah, I think I agree with how you stated it. You know, there's a lot of things that impact. There's a lot of macroeconomic factors that impact the flow of goods, that impact the labor market in the United States and in other countries. And so there's no one thing that we can blame this all on. There's no one thing, singular factor that this is why this happened in the U.S. labor market or the European labor market or whatever. But in general, you're right. I mean, it does depend across countries. But if you take China, that's a country with lower wages. And so they can produce a lot of goods more cheaply than we can produce them in the United States using labor in the United States, which earns relatively high wages. And so that's definitely one part of the factor, but it's not always the absolute cost. So in economics, we talk about it as the comparative advantage. And so sometimes, even though you may not have the absolute advantage, you can still trade in a good because you have a comparative advantage, and that can just be due to a large stock of labor or other natural resources that makes you competitive in trading a good relative to other countries. So there, I mean, there's just a lot going on there. You can never say, you know, that one thing caused it. And I think the interesting point there is, so if you impose tariffs on goods in other countries, can you bring manufacturing back to the U.S. for certain goods? And the answer is maybe. Depends on the good, how long it would take if the tariff, I mean, like if you're looking at producing automobiles and you impose tariffs for 3 months, well, that's not going to do much good because it would take a lot longer to build the plants and do all that. So you would have to have tariffs for a very long time. And you would have to convince automobile producers that those are going to be there forever so that they have the incentive to invest the billions of dollars that would be needed to produce those plants. And so it gets very complicated. But even in the case where you bring labor back, you know, you still are operating in a macro economy where there's only so much labor, and that labor has to be divvied across sectors and different jobs. And so if you bring the manufacturing back, yeah, you'll have more manufacturing jobs. Manufacturing producers will now be competing with, say, people in the service sector for labor. That's going to drive the cost of labor up and ultimately the cost of goods up. So at the end of the day, there's a lot of offsetting factors that one needs to consider. It's not the simple story that we're hearing from the administration that, you know, we're going to bring labor back. We're going to bring domestic manufacturing back, and that's going to make us all richer. That's just not true.
So kind of in the same lines as what you're talking about, if it means the economy of the country as a whole would improve, is it acceptable for the administration to continue a trade war, even if it may have a negative impact on, say, one specific group or one specific industry?
I mean, there are times where tariffs may be useful. I'm going to state it like that. I don't It's hard for me to imagine. I mean, so if it's for a national security reason, or if you're responding to, let's say, another country that you think has some unfair competitive advantage, let's say they've subsidized the production of a good, and you think it's important that you maintain a presence in that industry, those would be circumstances where I would think tariffs make sense. Or if you're responding to another country's tariffs on one of your goods. But other than those reasons, I'm not sure that it's going to, I don't think it'll be an economic win if it's not for one of those specific reasons.
You know, I want to expand that thought a little bit, because one of the things that you hear in the discussion of this is globalization, and globalization is being portrayed on the pro-tariff side as the boogeyman, right? That, mm-hmm. This global economy is bad. Can you shut that door at this point in the, 2000s? I mean, hasn't that train left the station?
We are a long ways in to a more connected world market. Can you shut the door? No, you can't completely shut it. Can you backtrack along the path? Yes, you can. The question is, will it be an economic positive or an economic negative? And my view is that backtracking will lead to less wealth, will increase the price of consumption, and overall will reduce welfare. Now, remember, any Econ 101 course will teach you that the overall benefits of trade are positive, but there are always winners and losers. So the standard story is, you start trading with one industry, or you strike up trade and consumers benefit, and the total benefits to consumers are usually larger than the losses to the producers who, say, used to produce a good, but now we're going to buy the good from a foreign country. And so there's a winner, all consumers, and then there's a loomer, the industry that faces the increase in competition. Generally, the benefits are bigger than the losses. So if we've gone forward along that path, we've increased our wealth. Through trade. If we now backtrack, we're just going to be going the opposite direction. Now there's going to be winners. The winners will be the industries that see reduced competition. So, and you can think of that now as being something you buy, a political benefit. So the more you lobby the government, the more protection you get. That's another negative of tariffs, is it just produces more of a chance for big money to win by gaining a political advantage as opposed to an economic advantage. And so they will win while consumers lose. And in my view, total welfare will fall. Now, are there instances where that story may not be true? Certainly there are. But overall, I think the story is true. We're better off with more trade than with less.
And just to wrap this up, do you see that the president potentially is using this as a strategy, is using the tariff threats to actually compel more international cooperation?
I've not been able to figure out what the strategy is, to be completely honest. At one point, we hear about bringing domestic manufacturing back. The next moment, we hear about raising more revenues. And then the next moment, we hear about using it as a negotiating tool. And those three things are inconsistent. If you're using it as a negotiating tool, then you're going to impose a tariff until they give you something, and then you take the tariff off. Well, that's inconsistent with using it as a revenue tool to to raise revenues in the long term to fund the government. Or it's also inconsistent with a tariff that's going to protect an industry. Once you protect that industry, to protect it in the long term, you're going to have to keep those tariffs in place. And so I honestly have been asking that very question. I don't know what the policy is or what the reasoning is behind it. I've heard a lot of different things, but they don't seem to be consistent with one another.
John, thank you so much. That's so interesting.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate the call.
That was John Diamond, director of the Center for Tax and Budget Policy at Rice University's Baker Institute.
You've been listening to The Issue from the Voice of America.
On behalf of Scott and myself and all of us here at VOA in Washington and around the world, we thank you so much for joining us.
And you can always check out our website. It's voanews.com for news anytime you want it.
In Washington, I'm Lori London.
And I'm Scott Walterman.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.